And I thanks for those messages and song. We trust that the Lord will truly bless them. I think that Melanie has sang for me at all the churches I've been pastor at, definitely two of them. And I remember her and Morris coming as a very young couple up to Gilkeel to sing for us there. So good to see you still with a song in your heart. Thanks for those messages and song. Thanks to Ronnie for leading the meeting today, both morning and evening. Before I went into the work, I lived in 7 Princeton Avenue, and Ronnie was in Pollock Drive, which is not that far away, and he was telling me in the back room tonight that he has been conducting that children's meeting for 48 years. That's tremendous, isn't it? 48 years. And I said to him, Ronnie, you should have got an invitation to the palace long ago. Some of the people that are invited, I don't know, but Ronnie, but if he doesn't get an invite to the palace over in London, my, there's the palace that we're going to, and I'm sure he'll have a reward up there. So it's good to be here today at Lurgan. And we trust that God will bless his word tonight. Let's just bow and have a little word of prayer. Father, we do thank you tonight for these lovely choruses that we've been singing at the beginning, for these hymns, for these messages and song that has been rendered to us this evening, Father. And we pray that your blessing might be upon all that's for your glory this evening. We pray that, Father, as we turn to your word, that indeed that each one of us gathered here tonight, that we might hear your voice. Pray tonight, Lord, that we not just might hear the voice of a man, but we might hear the voice of God, and that you would speak to all our hearts. Father, we realize that you look down from above and you see each one of us this evening. And we know that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And Father, you see every heart. And so we pray that by thine all-seeing eye that thou wilt work and speak the word and bring it with power and blessing to all our hearts this evening. Bless the gospel, we pray. And we pray tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, that his name indeed might be honored in all that's said and done. For it's in that precious name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to read a few verses from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 17. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 17. And we want to read from verse 11 through to 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, and at verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And we'll end there at verse 14. I know that there's a little bit more to the story, but we're not involved in that tonight, about the man who came back and gave thanks. But we're just breaking off at verse 14 tonight, and we pray that God will bless the reading of his word. If I were to say to you this evening, December 19 and 1989 and January 1990, I wonder, could you remember something powerful and outstanding that happened away back in those days? Some of you, your wheels are beginning to move in your brain and you're thinking back to 89 and to 90. And of course, there's some here tonight and you weren't even born then. But I'll tell you what happened away back there. By the communist countries of the Soviet Union, the satellite states, communism fell. Communism came down. And in the satellite states of the Soviet Union, like Poland and Romania and all the rest of them, and then into Russia itself, that mighty event took place when the Berlin Wall was brought down, when the Iron Curtain was brought down, and my people who were prisoners in there, they got liberty, and those who were shut out were able to go in. It didn't happen because of an invasion from the West. It didn't happen because of some attack from America or somewhere else. I believe that communism fell away back then because God heard and answered the prayers of his people. For many years, the people of God all over the world had been praying that God would open the way, that God would bring down the wire, that God would bring down the walls. And that's what happened at that particular time. Because of what happened, it meant there was more freedom of movement. And the late Tom Lewis, who went home to be with the Lord at the beginning of this year, the late Tom Lewis, who was working in Eastern Europe in those days, he took a number of pastors from time to time in through the Iron Curtain and into those countries, and brought them to the churches to help the churches and to preach the word and to evangelize and all the rest of it. And I remember Tom ringing me up and asking me if I would go on a trip with him. And so it was arranged. And off we went and into Romania. And we spent about 10 days in Romania going around the different churches from place to place and preaching the word and ministering to the saints and preaching the gospel. And we saw many people gloriously saved. But not only did we go on a preaching tour, we went to visit other places. We went to the orphanages, to the schools, went to the hospitals to see what the need was and how we could help. And I remember one particular, I think it was a Sunday afternoon, we went to a mental health hospital. And I saw that day something I'll never forget until the Lord takes me home. It was situated away off the main road. You drove out of the town and the city and in through this kind of farm, past the animals, past the cows in the field and the pigs in the sty. And on away at the back of all those buildings, there was another building, and that was the mental hospital for that particular region. When we went into that hospital, friend, we saw people who were totally forgotten about, people who were there and nobody wanted to know about them. The stench, the urine stench, and the dirt, and the clothes that they wear, and some were blocked off by iron bars. And here was a group of people that nobody cared about. They were the outcasts of humanity, and nobody knew about them until then, and nobody cared about them. Nobody wanted to know them. Nobody wanted to think about them. Nobody wanted to provide for them. And you know, as we read this passage here tonight in Luke's gospel, we find that here we have the Lord Jesus going to a particular place. And he's on his way to Jerusalem. And as he passed through Samaria and Galilee, he entered into a village where there met him 10 men that were lepers. And those 10 men were just like the people that I saw on that visit to that hospital in Romania. Here were people who were the outcasts of society. Here were people whom nobody wanted to know about or nobody wanted to be near them. Here were people, my, who were shut off. And these lepers were men, and they were shut off from ordinary men and women in their society. And in these verses, we're told about what happened when the Savior came to this colony of lepers. My, they met one day, they met that day, someone who cared. Someone who cared for them. And they met that day when Jesus came, someone who not only cared for them, but someone who had the power to cleanse them and to heal them and to transform their whole life. My, what a day it was when these 10 lepers met the Savior. And I just want to think with you tonight about these 10 lepers. And we want to underline some things that these 10 lepers had in common. Some things that they had in common. You know, the first thing here, it says in verse 12, it says here that there met him 10 men that were lepers. And the first thing I want you to notice is this, that they all suffered from the same disease. They all suffered from the same disease. This was the disease that these men had. My, it was the dreaded disease of that particular time. It was the dreaded disease, just as there are diseases and illnesses today which people dread going to the doctor, and they're given the news that they have one of these diseases or illnesses. My, it's one that people dread. And this disease of leprosy in that day was a dreaded disease. You see, friends, when a person was diagnosed with leprosy, they were put outside the camp. They had to separate themselves from everyone else. My dear friends, they had to cry unclean, unclean. The Word of God tells us quite a bit about leprosy when we go back in our Bibles to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 13, it tells us here about leprosy, how that it could start like a rising. In chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, when a man shall have in his skin of his flesh a rising, a scab or a bright spot, it shall be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy. Tells us on down the chapter there that it is a plague of leprosy broken out of a boil. It could break out from a boil. And we go on through that chapter, and there's a lot of information in it about this plague of leprosy. My dear friends, it started in a small way and then it spread. And you know, when a person had leprosy, they had to stay outside the camp. They had to separate themselves from everyone else, their family. They weren't allowed to enter into a group of people that would go into the town or into the village. We find here that we see the uncleanness of the leper. The uncleanness of the leper. And we see here the helplessness of the leper, because they couldn't go to anybody else to help them, and neither had they any way of helping themselves. So as we get a picture of these men, we see the uncleanness of the leper and the helplessness of the leper and the powerlessness of the leper. These men all suffered from the same disease. They were all lepers. They were all unclean. They were all helpless. They were all powerless because of their leprosy. And you know, friends, leprosy in the scripture is a type of sin. It's a type of sin. You see, leprosy starts in a small way, and then it spreads and grips hold of the body and distorts the members of our body. And sin is just like that. You know, sin starts in a small way. Only sin begins in our nature. It begins in our nature. When the little baby is consumed in its mother's womb, the Bible teaches us that it's conceived in sin. Sin in our nature, that's where sin begins, friends. We are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And then, you know, as the baby begins to grow and develop, you see it beginning to take a hold. And we see that the child begins to naturally do things which are wrong and naturally say things which are wrong. And now we see how that the leprosy or the sin spreads. And because of sin, my, we're born in sin. Because of sin, we're unclean tonight. Sin makes us unclean. And my, we're helpless to do anything about sin. People try to deal with the problem in their own. Others try to get some cure. But my, there's no man-made cure for sin or to take sin away. So we're seeing here that these men, they all suffered from the same disease. They were all lepers. And the fact of the matter is this tonight, that we were all born sinners. Sinners by nature. And we all became sinners by practice, without exception, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless Son of God. So the first thing you see here, that they were all born and suffered from the same disease. And then it says this about them. It says, and it came to, it says here, which stood afar off. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And you know, they're all standing in the same place. My, they're not only suffering from the same disease, but they're all standing in the same place. They're standing afar off. They had to keep their distance. And their condition separated them from everything that was good and for everything that was holy. They were not allowed to go to the place of worship. They couldn't mingle with the people as they came to offer their sacrifices. They were separated from everything that was holy and everything that was good and everything that would have been a blessing. And you know, friends, because of sin, we were all born in the same place. We were not only born with the same spiritual disease called sin, but we were all born in the same place. We were all born afar off, away from God. God is holy. Or that we might get back to the real and true concept of God in these days in which we find ourselves, that God is not someone to be laughed at or joked about. God is holy. God is a holy God. A holy God who hates sin. My dear friends, we're standing afar off tonight. Maybe you're here in this meeting this evening and you're away from God, away from God. And your sin separates you from God. And your sin will keep you out of heaven. We see here these 10 lepers. And they're all suffering from the same disease. and they're all standing in the same place, afar off. And then we find this out. It says in verse 13, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" And we find that they all cried to the same person. They all suffered from the same disease. They all stood in the same place. But they all cried to the same person. Notice how they addressed the Savior. They said, "Jesus, my, what a name." We were singing about that name in the choruses tonight, weren't we? Jesus, Jesus. Jesus means Savior. They said, "Jesus, Master." That word Master, my, Peter used it. My, it means one who is in control, one who is the chief commander. They knew that this man, Jesus, who had come in to their midst, my, they knew that he was the Savior. They recognized him as the Savior, and they recognized him as the one who was in control of every situation. And I'm sure we know tonight that Jesus Christ is the sinner's Savior, our only hope, the only one who can take control and command of our life and save us. The only one who can cleanse us from our sin. Now we're getting very near to that blessed season of Christmas, when the message came to the shepherds in the field, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now the angel said to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." My, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Dear friend, there's a Savior for sinners tonight. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And as we think of him, my, this one that they all called upon, this one that they all came to, you know, we remember that he was a willing Savior. He was willing to leave the palaces of glory. He was willing to make himself of no reputation. He was willing, my, to go to the cross to do the Father's will. He was willing to suffer in Pilate's judgment hall. He was willing to hang on the cross at Calvary and bleed and die for poor lost sinners. My, he was willing to give his life as a ransom for all and make a sacrifice that would make every requirement of a holy God. My, we think of him tonight as a willing Savior. Bless God tonight. There is one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And you know, we think of him tonight as a wounded Savior. This is the one that Isaiah wrote about 700 or 800 years before his birth. And he said, "But he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities." And my, we think of him tonight, friends, as a wonderful Savior. A wonderful Savior. And my, these men, they said, "Jesus, Savior, have mercy on us." They all cry to the same person, because they knew that he was the only one who could meet their need, who could deal with their problem, who could save their lives, who could cleanse them from their leprosy. And I want to say to you tonight that he is the only one who can deal with your sin and save your soul and cleanse you from that sin and make you whole. He's the only one who can save you, friend. His name is Jesus. They all suffered from the same disease. They all stood in the same place. They all cried to the same person. And you know, they all cried for the same thing. Because it says here, they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." My, they were crying for mercy. They were coming to him for mercy. Have mercy on us. You know, mercy is an act of compassion on those who are unworthy and ill-deserving. And these men, they realized their helpless condition. And they realized that their only hope was for Christ to have mercy on them. And they're crying here for him to have mercy on them. And dear friends, as guilty sinners before God, my, we were unworthy and ill-deserving. My, your need tonight, dear friend unsaved, your need tonight, my, is just like the need of the leper. We need mercy. According to his mercy, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Not one of us here deserved God's salvation. Not one of us here deserved it, but God is a God of mercy. You remember Paul writing to the Ephesians, and he reminds them of the past. And he says, you know, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin." You were dead, he says, in sin. And he reminds them how they were held captive by the prince and principalities and powers, how they were dominated by the devil, and how they were defeated by the flesh. And then he says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved us." My dear friends, God is a God who is rich in mercy. And it's when men and women and young people come as poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinners, realizing their unworthiness, and they cry for mercy, it's then that God will hear their cry and show mercy upon them. You remember the two men that went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. And the Pharisee, my, he began to talk to God, and he told God about how good he was, and my, what he gave. And he told God about his righteous life and about his prayer life and all the rest of it. But the poor old publican, he couldn't tell God about how good he was. He just bowed his head and said, he could not even look up towards heaven, but smote his breast and cried, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." My dear friends, that's the sinner's prayer tonight. Have you ever prayed the sinner's prayer? Have you ever come to that place in your life where you realize that your sin stands against you, that you're condemned, that you're heading for a Christless eternity, but you realize that God sent his Son, and his Son come into this world and went to the cross, that he died and shed his blood to save you, and that he rose again? And have you ever come and cried to God for mercy on the basis of the shed blood of the Lamb? And that's the sinner's cry, and that's the prayer that God will answer. By these men, they all suffered from the same disease. They all stood in the same place. They all cried to the same person. They all cried for the same thing, mercy. And then verse 14 says, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves to the priests." Go show yourselves to the priests. They all got the same directions. They all got the same directions. You see, friends, we live in a day and in an age when people have an opinion about everything. We live in a day and an age when people have their own opinion. And it's the same when it comes to becoming a Christian or getting saved and forgiveness. People have their own opinions. But you know, the way of salvation is the same for everyone. When we get to heaven, gather around the eternal throne, there'll nobody be there because they have more money than somebody else. There'll nobody be there because they've done more than somebody else. There'll nobody be there because of some particular asset they might have or belongs to them. We'll all be there on the same basis. All be there on the same basis. My dear friends, we'll all be there through Christ, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through saving faith in him as taking our place as an unclean, guilty sinner and resting our all for eternity on the precious blood of the Lamb and the mighty sacrifice of Calvary and accepting Christ as our Savior. And on that basis, heaven will be yours and mine. Dear friends, salvation is not in a church. It's not in a system. Paul and Silas, when the Philippian jailer cried out to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The answer was simple and plain. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. All you need to do is believe. Believe the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There'll be folks in glory from every part, from every country, from every creed, from every walk of life. And they'll all be there the same way. They'll sing unto him who hath washed them and redeemed them by his blood from every kindred and people and tongue and nation. Here's 10 men. And they all suffered from the same disease. They were all lepers. And they all stood afar off. And they all came to the same person. They found that their hope, their need could be met in him. And they all cried for the same thing, mercy. And they all got the same directions. And it says here at the end of verse 14, it says, "Go show yourselves on the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They all received the same blessing. As they went, they were cleansed. It happened as they went to tell the priest. It was faith. This is faith. You get saved by exercising faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And through faith, they got the same blessing. It took mighty power to cleanse these lepers. But the Lord had that power available. He was able to cleanse the leper. And my praise God tonight that the same blessed Jesus who cleansed those lepers near Jerusalem, he has that same power today. And he's able to save and to cleanse leprous sinners. You know, I was reading just yesterday about that great man, John Newton. John Newton, as many of you will know, was the son of a ship captain And by the time he was 11 years of age, he was on his father's ship in the Mediterranean. And his life went on, and somehow it got worse and worse and worse. And John Newton became a slave trader. And in those days, slave trading was looked upon with disdain. But John Newton, one time when he was the skipper of a ship off the west coast of Ireland, in the midst of a mighty storm, and it seemed that they were all going to perish, he remembered the life that he had lived, his filthy tongue, his drinking, and all that his life had been to that hour. And it seemed that before the ship went down, that John Newton got down on the deck of that ship and he cried to God for mercy. He cried the sinner's prayer. And there on that ship deck, the Lord saved that man. And the Lord changed that man. And it was John Newton who penned that mighty hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Many of us here tonight could sing that hymn. Sing that hymn about God's amazing grace and what God's amazing grace has done and is doing and will do in our lives. My dear friends, here we find 10 men. They were lepers. They were helpless. They all suffered from the same disease. They all stood in the same place afar off. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a leprous sinner. You're away from God and you're shut out of His presence. You're heading for destruction. I want to tell you tonight that the Savior that these men met on that road that day, He lives tonight, He's here tonight, He's able. He's able and abundantly able to save, and He can do the same for you as He did for those lepers. So many years ago, He can cleanse you. He can make you whiter than the snow. Doesn't matter what the sins that stand against you are. He can cleanse you and He can save your soul for time and for eternity. May you come to Him tonight. May you cry even as these men cried, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And if you do, His mercy, He's the God who is rich in mercy. And He'll save you and make you His for all eternity. May God speak in our meeting tonight. May God's voice be heard in this place this evening. And if there's someone here, and you're still unclean in your sins, may you leave this house tonight cleansed and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. May God bless His word for His name's sake. Our closing.